Blog Talk Radio.
Energy Radio. Once again, I am your host, Laura Ezekiel. Tonight we have a very special guest. Before I go ahead and introduce her, I just want to say I'm just about to laugh because every time I do a show, there's always some type of technical difficulty, probably from the very first show I ever started. But Blog Talk, this one time, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. So I'm kind of thrilled about that. But Blog Talk has issued a message. Our engineers are working on a solution for the audio file issue. In the meantime, a quick fix is to delete your browser cookies and clear the browser cache. Well, I tried that. It didn't work. So that startup music was horrible. It was terrible, but I just let it go because I didn't know what else to do. It was cracking me up, too, so I had to let it go. But tonight, we are welcoming back guest April Adams. She is a metaphysical and intuitive coach. She is an energy healer. She is author. She is good friend. I've known April for several years. It's my pleasure to bring her back once again onto the show. I have been privileged enough to witness a great chunk of her journey into fulfillment, and I have never seen anyone more hardworking and dedicated to their craft. April Adams is someone to recognize in the field of metaphysics. She's also someone who greatly cares about her clients. It's a privilege and a pleasure, again, for me to have her on and to welcome her back. April, you're on the internet radio with us. How are you this evening?
Great. How are you?
How'd you like that intro?
I love it.
I love it.
Good. Thank you for having me back on.
Oh, I love having you on the. We have such a good time when you come on. We just, I've known you for so long now. I don't know how many years it's been, but it's, you know, I can't keep track of time. But I don't know. I'm saying like going on 10 years. Is that accurate?
Yeah. 9 years in April, just this last April. So yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. We're like really good buddies.
In that time.
You have grown leaps and bounds in your own life and in your practice. And you have a book out now called Essence, Ending Emptiness, Finding Fulfillment, which is, I'm proud to say I have a mention in the back. So anyone who has that book, please look for my mention in the back. Thank you very much. but as I was saying, I'm really, really proud to have been around, you know, in the forefront of your journey where you began, and watching you grow and take the steps necessary to not only better yourself but help other people do the same, it's been phenomenal. I have to say that I really am proud of you, not just as my friend, but, you know, for what you do for other people. It's impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, I have to say that you were a big part of that, as far as helping me to really step into my power and recognize what I was capable of. So, you know, I really think that we have helped each other out a lot, and it's been an interesting journey for the two of us together, much less
Absolutely.
What we both learned separately, too, because we seem to keep coming together and separating,
mm-hmm.
So that we can both sort of have our own healing journey. And then we come back and we've learned kind of the same things, but in different ways.
Right. Yeah, I know. Who was I talking to? I was telling somebody that, you know, we hadn't talked in like 8 months or something like that. We, you know, here or there or whatever. And then when we got back together in physical form, you know, we were telling each other we had been practicing this new meditation. And when we outlined it to each other, it was the same exact thing. So it's, you know, there is an energetic connection. There's always has been. I don't know if your clients all get up off the table and start intuiting information, but I think a lot of that happens with people when you are working on them. So things definitely shift for people, not only in their lives specifically, like day-to-day life, but, you know, in a larger, more broader fashion into the metaphysical. So have you ever had clients, you know, discuss that with you? Like, I didn't expect this.
Yeah, to an extent. I mean, I think that your awakening was especially powerful when you interacted with me, just because we sort of were an energetic pairing. And so we're meant to sort mm-hmm. of catalyze and amplify each other. But,
right.
you know, absolutely, when I'm working on other people, I also have an amplifying and catalytic effect on them and their growth on a lot of levels. But, yeah, a lot of people, it's more that maybe they've had Reiki before, but they couldn't feel it. And
yeah.
when I
mm-hmm.
do it on them, they can actually, like, they have an experience. They either see colors and lights, or they feel the energy moving through and around them, or they're twitching all over the place, or, you know, they experience something. They have a level of bliss that they may not normally experience. So, you know, there is something very powerful about what I do, and I think a lot of it comes from just really surrendering to what I'm shown to do at any given moment, where I think a lot of healers are like, oh, I went and learned Reiki, and in order to do Reiki, you have to do A, B, C, D, and
right.
they're not trusting what they get shown. They're just doing. they're doing
right.
the steps.
Yeah.
They're
doing the
and
steps.
I really think
it's going to come from
the
heart.
Yeah, that makes all the difference, is when you really do it from a real place and you follow everything that you're shown to do from your heart, from your soul.
Yes, from your heart and your soul, definitely, 1,000%. And,
yeah.
you know, what is interesting about you bringing that up is that I was just about to ask you how has this journey been for you? Has it been, would you say it's been easy? Would you say it's been difficult? Would you say it's been some of both?
Well, I would say that I got on this journey because of difficulty, because I was in a place of struggle. And I think that that's what gets a lot of people into this line of work and into metaphysics and spirituality and self-help and all of that is
mm-hmm.
that we have a level of struggle where we say, I cannot live like this any longer. And we go looking for something different than what we've been doing. And that's what really catalyzed this whole journey for me. I was in a place of struggle. For me, it was my romantic relationships. They always defined me. And so if they didn't look just right, I would freak out. And I was pretty low about it for several years on end before I started doing all of this. And when I finally realized that it was me that was creating that misery and not actually the people that I was with, then that's what really moved me toward doing energy work and learning about spirituality and metaphysics and just a different way of seeing not only relationships but life in general. And so when I started that journey, I took a Reiki class, and when I felt the energy in my hands, it was a visceral sensation, and I didn't expect that because I had a couple of Reiki sessions prior to that from someone who was practicing, and I felt relaxed, but that was really the extent of it. But when I was activated to give Reiki, it was like I was holding a ball of electricity in my hand, and that blew me away. Immediately I was like, okay, this means there is something else, and this is what I was supposed to be doing. It was a homecoming. And so I just kind of started doing it every chance I got, and fortunately, once I was level 2, the spa I was working in was allowing me to offer it as a service, and it grew very quickly and easily because it was what I was supposed to be doing. And I have loved it, absolutely. But as far as it being difficult or easy, there have been a lot of ups and downs, but I think that a lot of the downs were my own blockages and my own issues that I needed to learn and work through. And what's really
right.
cool is whenever I'm learning something to heal myself, that week my clients come in and that's exactly what they need to learn. So it's
yeah,
as though we need to constantly be on a healing path. We can't ever be perfect because we always need to be learning something more so that when our clients come in and go, I'm struggling with this, we have empathy for that. We have, fresh input on, okay, well, I was just having that issue. Let me show you what worked for me.
Right.
Where if we were perfectly enlightened, then we wouldn't be constantly having to learn and having to learn and having to heal. And so we wouldn't have that level of empathy for them, and we wouldn't have the fresh new take on that information to share with them. It would just be all of these platitudes we'd be giving them, and it wouldn't
right.
be as effective. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. Yeah, well, when I think about what you're saying, what I'm getting in my head is because Source is. And that's why we're here to begin with, to experience for Source. Source doesn't have the experiences that we do in our human existence. So
mm-hmm.
we're here to have these experiences and to help each other through that and as volunteers. So, we becoming perfect or enlightened, which is something that I think in the human body we want to aspire to, but we already are, aren't we? Aren't we spirit incarnate? Aren't we already perfection within the physical body? We're just having a human experience.
Right. 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 And, you know, I mean, really the physical body is more like a costume we put on in order to be able to act out the scenes we chose to come here and act out and experience and play in.
Right. That's such a perspective. I mean, when you try to, you come from, say, where we were, you know, in not seeing the bigger picture and knowing how people struggle with just day-to-day life, getting up, going to work, et cetera, you know, having that perspective, sometimes it takes time to wrap your brain around it, but once you get there, it makes things so much easier.
Right.
Would
you agree? I remember when I was first starting to try to grasp that concept, I went through two or three weeks of like a crisis of self, I guess, because I was just going like, what do I believe? You know, this is crazy. You know, is this really an illusion? Because it feels pretty real. So, you know, I would read about it. I would read something about, you know, how we were just here to experience and that we're actually spirit beings and that this physical existence is just like theater or, you know, something along those lines. And that we just came to experience specific things. But then I would put down the book. And I'd walk around in the world and try to interact with it, and I'd be like, really? This doesn't seem like an illusion. This seems pretty darn solid. And so I kept going back and forth. When I would read the book, one of the books that I read was The Disappearance of the Universe. That one's a little out there, and for me, the way that it ends and the premise that it's presenting as the end game, I don't really agree with. I don't resonate with it. Basically, they try to tell us not to reincarnate anymore in order to stop perpetuating the ego and the separation and all of that. But really what I believe with all of that is that we're supposed to be creating what we have as spirit beings here on the physical plane. So we're supposed to be bringing that oneness and that divine energy that we have when we're in our pure form, and to create a level of that here in the physical, to begin to let go of that separation, to begin to level out the ego so that it can be a healthier experience. And
I think it
took a while for me to like come around to that and live from that perspective, but it has made all the difference in how much I'm able to surrender to things.
Right. Yeah, well, because if there is infinite possibility, then how can we limit ourselves on what is? How can we say that we have it all wrapped up in a box and a pretty little bow on it, and we know, I mean, we're so far, I think, from the truth in a lot of ways still that I can't even imagine now putting a restriction on what is possible. And when you think of life in those terms, you know, it can be scary, but honestly, it opens things up a lot more for an individual who is trying to determine what they should do with their life, because we had all these rules in place. If things are so concrete, then we have all these rules of how things work, and then we have to adhere to those rules. But if that's not the reality, if that's not our, it's our reality sometimes, but if we start looking at a perspective that everything is possible, it does become possible for us.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
I felt like I was rambling there a little bit.
No.
Did you ever read The Messiah's Handbook by Richard Bach?
No.
He's the guy that wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull. And this book is older. It's an older book, but there's a part in the book where he explains life as like going to the movies. And he says, you know, you can pick any type of movie you want to watch. You want to watch a rom-com, you want to watch, I mean, these aren't his exact words, but he's saying, you know, do you want to see a drama? Do you want to see a movie with a vampire in it? Do you want to see, you know, a murder mystery? What do you want to experience in your movie? And then go write the script. And it was the first time I had ever thought of life outside of the rules, saying that, that we actually do create our life. And this is, geez, in the 80s, I think. I don't know. I can't remember now, but I have to look up the date of the book. But
I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah, yeah. If you get a chance to read, it's, you know, a short book, but it's really pretty profound when you think about it. And everything that we do here can be altered. And I think that's the one thing that kind of cements it home for me, is that there is no state of permanency.
Yeah. And I feel like the more that we're able to perceive subtle energy, the easier it gets to begin to believe this. Because, you know, we're so used to the obviousness of the physical world and physical touch. And when we start to pay attention to something like the energy of Reiki or Chi flowing through your body, and you can actually perceive it as a physical sensation, which takes time and practice and usually getting a Reiki attunement or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly what kind of woke that up for me. That was that feeling of holding electricity in my hand. Once I was sensitive to that, all bets were off as far as, you know, regular reality. And what I've found since then is that our intention actually affects energy. So, you know, all of this talk about how our thoughts affect energy, it's true. And if you're intending for something to happen, it's happening on an energetic level. So, you know, you're affecting the energy first by sending it in a certain direction with your thought and instruction. And eventually that can have an effect on the physical plane, but it has to happen energetically first. And so you have to kind of step into your power a little bit and recognize, okay, so I do have some effect on what's going on around me. And if I use my intention correctly, I can create a lot of things that I like. And, you know, I still think that to some extent we have to go through some things that we might not like. But what's really beautiful about that is that those things are often what brings us the best things later.
Right.
You know, such as going through a huge amount of struggle in my romantic life, causing me to be so desperate that I needed to take energy healing classes and read every spiritual, metaphysical, and self-help book I could get my hands on at the time. I would have never done that had I not been completely and totally miserable. And think about that. If I hadn't gone that direction, so many people that I've been able to work with and help wouldn't be receiving what I'm here to give. And
exactly.
So a lot of times we lament all of these things that are happening to us, and, oh, no, why does this have to happen, and what's this happening to me, and just so much resistance all the time. But if we can sort of step back and go, okay, this is happening for a reason. This is either a lesson I need to learn, or this is leading me to something better in the future, it really helps so much to be able to get to that place of realization.
Right. Fear is the great undoer. Being afraid of what can be, what would be, what should be. Am I doing this right? Am I going to succeed? It's the great undoer. It's everything that we don't want. And yet we're projecting that out with this huge emotion behind it, because emotion is the catalyst for creation.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I've struggled with immensely is getting my emotions under control. And I'm better at it now. I'm certainly no expert. And it's taken me a long time to even acknowledge that I could have control over those emotions. And I think a lot of people think that way, that we are just going to feel what we feel and we're going to react the way we react, and there's no doing anything about it, that we don't have control over ourselves, or we don't have to be responsible for what happens if we get angry, or, you know, we just react.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, you had all this fear in the beginning, and you took the steps necessary, because action has to happen. We can intend all we want, but we have to put action behind it.
Right.
And you've done a lot of hard work. I don't know if people really know how much hard work you've done, not only on yourself, but to kind of hone your practice. And, you know, even now, like, you've gone from someone who went to find healing for themselves to becoming a healer of healers. You now, your clients are now the people who are working with other people, helping them heal. And those are the people who are coming to you now.
Yeah, so, and I'm getting chills right now. It's so funny. All of the signs and signals I'm getting from the universe. They're like, yes, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I was ready to really step into that originally, in part because I've been doing this work for maybe 6-7 years, something like that. And for me to then put myself out there and say, hey, all you healers and coaches and light workers, I'm the person who's supposed to heal and teach you. You know, it seems ludicrous. But the thing is, I've been doing it for lifetimes. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I have always been a healer. I've always done this. And so it's coming from that place. It's coming from an empowered soul level. Even if the physical being that is here doesn't have as many years of experience as somebody else, I have a level of openness and surrender that a lot of people don't have. And so I've been able to kind of hone my skills from a place of freedom and excitement. And that's, I think, probably the gift that I have to share with other people. Because, you know, if people come in, like I was saying earlier, and you learned a Reiki technique, and that's what you practice, you're not going to be as effective as you would be if you poured your own essence into what you're doing and really came from your heart and soul, as opposed to following somebody's steps. And that's really what it's all about: energy, spirituality, healing. It's about really trusting your soul and trusting the energy and allowing yourself to just flow and move through things and kind of approaching things with a sense of excitement and adventurousness, as opposed to, I have to do these steps because that's what this master said to do. You know, I mean, really, that kind of echoes back to, you know,
that
a lot
takes
of
away
the,
your power.
Right. And I mean, that's very closely related to what happened with, you know, the Dark Ages and telling people that they had to rely on a middleman in order to communicate with the divine. So this is really all about stepping back into our power and recognizing we're in direct connect with the divine. So we don't need a middleman. We don't need somebody else to really tell us exactly how a healing should be done. I mean, it's fantastic to get tips. It's fantastic to kind of get initial guidance. But once you kind of have the groundwork, you should be able to, you know, go out there and do what your soul tells you to do.
Right. You have to decipher for yourself where, because I think also for a practitioner out there who surrenders to, you know, whatever is available to them, which is infinite possibility, they go about it in different ways. And there's no way that is right or wrong. It's whatever works for the individual in the collective, because everyone has a job to do. You know, we all have a job to do. We all have my job, you know, and your job, they feed off each other and they help someone else do their job. And it just goes on like a domino effect. And, you know, if we're all doing whatever it resonates mostly with inside us, what we feel we're supposed to do, we're creating almost effortlessly.
Right. Absolutely. And that's, I think, you know, because you asked earlier about whether my journey was a good, you know, was positive or negative. Was there, you know, like, was there pain? Was there pleasure? You know, and certainly we talked about the pain points there and the catalyzing onto the next thing and the next thing. But there is such a beautiful, amazing part to all of this. You know, just how good it feels to be in the energy. How good it feels to help other people. You know, how it can be as good as any drug trip to be able to be in energy. And that's incredible. You know, I mean, so many people are looking for that. They're going out and drinking and taking drugs and going shopping and looking for
trying
and
to
having
fill themselves
sex.
Up.
And it's, if you can really connect with that deeper side of yourself and you can get into energy, you can have that connection. And you can have that bliss and that excitement and, you know, the healing that you want and the fulfillment that you want. You know, and of course, I'm sitting here saying that, but I have to admit something. do I do that for myself? Nope. You know, I'm in and out of energy all day for clients, and that is wonderful. It's fantastic. But there are messages that don't get through to me because I'm tuned into energy for other people and not going and getting the messages that are waiting for me. You know, I mean, of course, our clients mirror us, and I get a lot from what I bring through for them because it always corresponds somehow. But, you know, I don't stop and give myself a healing unless there's something really wrong. I don't meditate for my own good and well-being. I do it for other people all day. So that feels like going to work for me. So even though it's a positive, wonderful, blissful experience, there's still just this point where I'm like, I've been doing that all day. You think that I'm going to sit here and do that now? What? it's pleasurable as it is. You can still kind of, you know, burn out on it. But part of the point of me sharing that is that I have now sought out a mentor of my own, you know, even a couple of people that I'm working with so that I can get those messages I need, so that I can plug into my heart and soul even when I'm not doing a healing session. Because, you know, when I'm in energy and I'm working on healing somebody, I am totally grounded into my heart, into my soul, and I'm there. I'm completely present. But when I'm just walking around in my normal day-to-day life, my energy all goes back up to my head. You know, I'm a control freak. I'm always trying to solve things. So, you know, I've got this busy, intense mind. And I am doing the work that it takes. I'm taking the initiative to do the work to get all of the parts of myself integrated and to bring my energy more into my heart center or into all of my chakras as opposed to just my upper. And it's incredible. And so that is kind of the work that I want to do with other people. And it's odd because that's not where I started out. That wasn't necessarily my intention. I mean, I was dealing with Lovelorn people. The demographics that I was going after were women who were not fulfilled in their lives, primarily romantically, but other ways as well. And I thought that that was my demographic because that was my initial problem that needed solving. So that's who I went out looking to serve. But when it came down to it, when I really looked at, okay, who are my loyal clients? Who are the people who continually come back to me and see value in what I do and send their friends to me and can feel the power of what I'm offering? And it was the light workers, it was the healers, the coaches, the psychics. Those were the people who really love what I do, see the wisdom and the value in what I do, and come back again and again and again, and just keep growing and expanding from that place. And I think a big part of that is because I am always wanting to grow and expand and learn and heal, and I go with it. So it was kind of an interesting thing because I spent the last 6 months pretty much focused on marketing because mm-hmm. I had I wrote my book and I was ready to get it out into the world, and I felt that I had received a message that I was supposed to bring a message to the world, so I was focusing mm-hmm. on getting it out there. But the people I was focused on getting it out there to were the wrong people. Well, what's really cool is the moment I realized who my demographic was and who I am actually here to serve, it's like the universe turned on a faucet. People,
absolutely.
Before I even, like, did anything advertising-wise or, put, you know, even announced it, people were contacting me out of the blue, and I had been hearing nothing from nobody before that.
Mm-hmm.
It was like,
mm-hmm.
There was nothing coming in, no matter what I did. And so when I made that realization, it was just this constant influx, just more and more people just coming in. I think I've gained like 500 Facebook friends in the last month. And just a ton more consultations and people buying the book and just a lot of things unfolding. And then, you know, just with you and I having a conversation and talking about the website being the healer of healers and getting a chill on that. Like, this is
mm-hmm.
where I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be doing. And I had to step into that power. I had to embrace that that's who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing. And I think I had to also get past the worry that people would judge that I was coming from a place of ego by saying I'm the healer of healers. and, you know, that does happen a lot in a lot of industries, but especially the lightworker industry. People balk at the
mm-hmm.
word healer, and people balk at anyone who's, like, tries to put themselves above anybody else. But it's not really about me being above anybody. It's about the level of surrender and energy that I bring to things, I think.
It sounds, I mean, when I hear it, it sounds to me that you're offering yourself to people. That's what I hear.
Well, that's
awesome.
That's
how people
and
hear
that's
it.
How I intend it. You know, that's how I intend that
mm-hmm.
is, you know, I want to be able to support people who do this kind of work to be able to continue doing this kind of work in a healthy way where they're not getting run down and where
right.
they are getting as powerful as they can possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
Because I amplify and I boost people, and I help them to figure out how to fulfill themselves so that they're not giving from an empty cup.
And working with them through their entire journey, because if you've noticed, when we talk about your demographic or the people that you serve, we're talking about when in the beginning of your journey, when you were dealing with certain issues, that's the people that you were serving. Now
right.
that you're in a whole different place, a whole different ball game, it's natural for your journey to change. It's not going to stay stagnant. You're not going to just keep giving. As you learn more and more, you have more and more to give.
Right.
So you have to find the audience that is ready for that.
You know, I don't see this ever getting to a place of stagnancy. I feel like there's always something else for me to learn, and therefore there's always something else for other people to learn. And
infinite possibility.
And since the beginning of, you know, starting this journey, things have never stayed exactly the same all the way through. I mean, it's been a constant shift and flux. You know, starting out doing just Reiki and then having it shift into coaching and then learning how to get into the theta brainwave state for meditation and then hypnosis and then getting some mediumship skills. And
yeah.
it's all come together as this really amazing combination of things that I can do for people and help mm-hmm. them develop for themselves. Because we're all capable of all of that. It's just that we were never taught that. We don't know what we're capable of.
I remember the days where we used to sit around a table, oohing and aahing at all these things that were happening around us, and channeling messages and trying to figure out what they meant, and, you know, just being, like, so in awe of the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
And now when I think about that process, it's like, oh, yeah, no big deal. So somebody came through and talked to me last night, and it's like, yeah, whatever. None of it, you know, phases one anymore. It's just, it's normal way of life for us.
Mm-hmm.
So when people are like, oh, my goodness, and, you know, it's, yes, you do start at a place of awe, and then you kind of move into who you are. You start remembering, oh, yeah, this is the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
And,
there is, you know, there's a deep sense of coming home when you really embrace this and move into it. I think a lot of the fear just comes from how it's been so hidden in our culture for so long and so ostracized. So people have a level of fear around it. But when they begin to encounter it and really embrace it, they do. They feel like they've come home. And I love the array of levels that I've been working with, too, because I have people who have never really had a brush with energy at all before, at least mm-hmm. that they can remember, and that are just now coming into recognizing that they have some of these abilities, all the way up to people who've been doing this kind of work for years, but just like me, haven't taken the time to really get the messages they need for themselves and the healing they need to keep themselves replenished.
Keeping their own health, Mm-hmm.
Right. So I love that. I get to work with beginners and people who are fresh in this, and then people who've been doing it forever but just need to kind of keep their house. It's so much fun. It's a different adventure all the time. And I get to play with
them. It's amazing to see people's lives unfold before you.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that you've been a part of them achieving what it is they set out to do. And it's very satisfying work. You know, it can be very satisfying work to just be there to support other people in their journey. But like you said, you really have to do what is necessary to keep yourself well, healthy and whole, and receive whatever, you know, for myself, I mean, you know, you're talking about what you're doing now, working with healers, and I'm like, okay, what are we going to do next, April? Because I need to know what's next for me, because I need something opened up here, because I have an idea, but I'm not quite sure. So I'm like, okay, we need to book an appointment. But absolutely.
Yeah, we need to do some channeling together to really, because that's the thing about working with other people who are energetically sensitive and intuitive, is that you can fill in a lot of blanks for each other. You know, where you may get some information in one way, and I get some pieces of that puzzle to put in another way. And when we put it all together, it starts to make way more sense than if it's just you. Because we all have our own experience. We all have our own perception. And if we're only limited to our own way of getting information and understanding it, it's very limited. But if we have somebody else to kind of bounce it off of who has a little bit of a different take on things, there's just so much more information that you can nail down. And even such a beautiful and full level of energy that can occur because of that combination.
Right. It's hard to heal yourself, especially when you're working constantly with other people. It's harder to heal yourself, I think, personally.
Yeah.
I know when I give someone energy, or I'm helping them with an issue, and, you know, like, do we give the best advice, but we seldom ever take it type of situation. Mm. I always say that to clients. I'm like, yeah, you know, if only you knew.
And it's very funny
in the background of our lives too.
Yeah, sure. I've always been kind of a control freak, you know, and I cut my own hair for that reason, because I want my hair to look a certain way. And, you know, if I do it wrong, then I've got no one to blame but myself. And but, you know, for the most part, then I can control. This is how my hair looks. So, all right, you know, let's do this. And the same thing with my energy work. It's taken a lot for me to surrender and allow somebody else to work on me and somebody else to guide me, because I'm such a control freak, you know, it's not easy to follow someone else's instruction or just allow, especially, you know, I mean, I didn't get sick for 5 years because every single time I felt like I was coming down with anything, I immediately gave myself energy work and nipped it in the bud. It was incredible. So, you know, when you get that level of healing going on,
right,
it helps to intensify. It intensifies that control freak aspect. Like, okay, if I go to somebody else to have that healed, are they going to be able to do the same level I am? You know?
No, but that's just what you've been getting used to, so.
Yeah, and I had to wait for somebody to show up that I felt was on a higher level and had really stepped into their own power and that I felt an energetic respect for before I surrendered to allowing them to work on me and work with me and instruct me. And, you know, that's just another piece of my journey, learning how to surrender to others and trying to collaborate. You know, collaboration is big right now, so big. It's a huge message that's coming true. Collaborate, collaborate, collaborate.
Community, 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 community. I mean, we've been talking about community since day one, but seriously, it's like, okay, we've been telling you, get with the program now. You know, it's all about finding your community and working within that space, being yourself and having your own stuff and doing your whatever you need to do for the self, but being a part of that community, because that's how it's all going to happen. I truly believe that. I've always said that, and I can't stop talking about community, so obviously it's something for you to do it my path. But I was thinking when you were speaking, go ahead,
that's fine.
When you were speaking about your mentor, was that not only did you need to wait for someone to come along who was someone you could respect, highly respect, it's coming at a time where you're going to need it.
Yeah.
Because everything in your life is beginning to ramp up. It's beginning to become bigger and bigger. And suddenly you're going to need that support. And now is the best time to learn how to accept that support.
Right. Yeah. I agree. And what I was going to say with the whole community thing and all that, I try to be very out there with, I mean, not out there woo-woo. I mean, open with others, open with my following about where I'm at on my journey and, you know, what my struggles have been. And, you know, even what I've got going on right now. And, you know, I think that over the last year or so, the universe has been giving me a class on how to say no. And so with the whole community thing, and like I said, I suddenly have double the friends on Facebook. I've had, as you saw earlier, an abundance of people trying to have conversations with me in private chat.
Yep.
And this is a full range. It's people trying to hook up with me. It's people from other cultures wanting to know about me and my culture. It's people just wanting to have small talk. It's people thanking me for friending them. It's just this huge array of different things. And, you know, when I'm plugged into people all day, I need to not be plugged into people sometimes. And so for me, this whole collaboration thing, this whole community thing, has to be a massive balance. I really have to focus on the balance of both sides and figure out, okay, who am I open to being around and collaborating with? And who is just a drain on my energy? And figuring out the kindest possible way to release the people who are a drain on that energy, and putting the focus and energy and effort on the people who I can make a difference with and who, you know, have something to offer back and forth.
Well, that's what community is.
Yeah.
Community is a support system for everyone in the community. Whether the job is large or small, everyone has a place and a purpose.
Yeah.
And it becomes like a well-functioning machine. When people are taking care of what they need to take care of, things flow easily for others. You know, if I'm doing my job, then, you know, say I'm in charge of making the pie crust, and I don't make the pie crust that day, well, guess what? We're not having pie. Community has no pie. You know what I mean? So everyone needs to pull their weight. You know, if you're in charge of peeling the apples and you leave all the cores in the center, and the pie's going to not be very enjoyable because we're all eating seeds and cores. Not fun.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's pulling their own weight. That's what community is. It's not some people support other people, and it's all about just emptying yourself onto everyone else's needs. It's about a community that supports each other, produces whatever needs to get produced. You know, it's an act of creation. And when you talk about being selective, well, you know, of course, because, you know, if you're hiring for a job, you're not going to hire a baker to build you know, anything ship. You're not going to hire somebody who's used to making muffins and say, here, go build me a ship. You're going to have to select the people who are right for the job that you're looking to fill. So, you know, if everyone has a purpose and a job, then, you know, you pick the people. You pick those that are around you and that can fulfill that job, and be selective, because what you are creating is important.
Right.
If you don't think that it's, you know, if you don't think you're creating important things, then okay, just who cares who's at the helm? You know what I mean? But if you weren't selective, you would be doing yourself and other people an injustice. So, you know, being selective is probably the best thing you can be.
Yeah. And I think in our culture, that's a difficult thing for us to figure out, for a lot of us, because we get programmed really early to stifle ourselves and to give of ourselves in order to make other people happy or comfortable.
Right.
And so it becomes not okay to say no. It becomes rude to not just go with whatever anybody wants, you know. And I feel like, you know, because you said how you said that my life was amping up right now. And I think that that's the reason that I've been getting so much of this message again and again over the last year, is kind of like, buckle up, it's coming, so you better figure out how to say no when you need to.
Right.
And
that's why you're getting all the random attention.
Right. Yeah. And I mean,
it's a very small way for the universe to have you experience what it's like to have people coming at you from all directions.
Right. Yeah. And
bodyguards.
It's Oh, you're getting bodyguards again. Okay. to explain to the listening audience, Laura kept getting the message that I was going to need bodyguards. I think that would be, that would make things a lot easier. But, you know, at this stage, that's kind of ridiculous to have bodyguards. But I sure would like somebody to be like, dear Facebook chatters, April doesn't have time or energy to talk right now. But here, here's some love. I love you. But we're not chatting right now.
Oh, yeah. I honestly have had, you know me. I'm the person who will talk to somebody for 4 hours on the phone and, you know, not charge them cents and be like, okay, well, you know, now I'm exhausted, so I really have to get off the phone. But no longer, I will tell you right now, that's not happening anymore. It's not happening anymore in my life, only because I find I don't have enough to give in the areas that I need to give it. If I'm spending it all with one person, I can't do that. And that's, being selective is not about I want to omit certain people from my life and I don't want to waste time with them. It's about I need to be conscious about how I'm spending my time because I have a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not conscious about what I'm doing to facilitate that job, then it's not going to happen.
Absolutely.
So how long has it taken me to figure that one out?
Well, you know, I think, too, with you, you had a lot of Catholic guilt, you know, because you were so deeply enmeshed in that faith as a young child. It was part of your programming to feel that you had to give and give and give and give and give and give until you had nothing left.
Right.
And
absolutely.
So, you know, you had to do the work to figure out that that was not healthy for you or for them. You know, because you end up enabling them.
Right.
And
it's not,
you end up running yourself dry.
It's like codependency.
Yeah. Right.
That's what it is. It's codependency. I needed to feel like I was doing something of value.
Yeah.
And I needed to feel like I had earned my healing. Well, I feel like I've earned it now.
Yes,
it's
absolutely.
Not so much that I'm saying, you know, oh, I've given all I'm going to give. It's, for me, it's about making happen what needs to happen. And I no longer can be okay with taking time away from the things that I know need to occur in my life and in around me. So I just can't do that anymore. And that's I don't feel guilty about it. I don't.
Good.
I don't feel guilty at all. Mm-mm.
You know, and I think, though, that dynamic is rampant in our culture. That especially with women, you know, I mean, there's some guys who are like that, too. But with women especially, there's just that feeling of you have to give everything. And you're just giving so much that, you know, you're running yourself down. And, you know, that Louise Hay in You Can Heal Your Life talks about how our emotions and actions in life create physical illnesses in our bodies. And when you give and give and give and give and you don't allow yourself to receive, you end up with issues with the breast. And look at how many people in this culture get breast cancer or lumps in their breast or have issues there.
Yep.
And it's because we are a culture of giving until our cup is so empty it's bone dry.
Right.
And then feeling resentful and run down and lonely. And it's awful. It's a terrible place to be. So, you know, I mean, that I think that that's part of a lot of people's healing journeys, too, is to figure out how to step up for themselves, how to balance their giving and receiving.
Right.
And it's not easy, you know, when you're surrounded by our culture that's permeated in that. It's very difficult because you've got people around you going, well, you're being selfish, when really you're just being healthy.
Yeah, no, absolutely, because, you know, so many times I speak with clients and I hear from them, well, I have no choice. I say, well, as long as you believe that you have no choice, you won't have any choice.
Right.
But if you truly sit down with a pen and paper and write out all the possible things that you could do or could happen, I said, you'd be there for a very long time writing because there's infinite possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when you embrace that concept in your life that things can get wild and crazy, but they can also just, you know, there are so many options.
Yeah.
So many options.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So many options. You know, just from, you know, one of the things that told me that I was in a good place recently was that when we were in Florida, for a conference just recently, and you and I saw each other very briefly the entire time we were there.
Right.
And I knew that we're both working on projects, but mm-hmm. I also had the very distinct feeling that something soon was coming and we'd be back working together again. It's just a matter of time.
I'm getting confirmation on that. Yep. I don't think that it's only the event that we have coming up. Let's talk about that a little bit, even though, you know, I'm sure that there's something bigger coming that we're going to help each other out with. But
I just caught in my head, something wicked this way comes. that's not actually what's happening, but it was just funny. It just popped into my head. All right, there's a caller actually holding, and before we go ahead and take that caller, I want to talk a little bit about our event that's coming up. It's on June 27th. That is a Saturday. There are two times for this event, 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. There are 20 seats available per seating, so limited tickets, very limited tickets. April and myself will be in Winterton at the Murdoch Whitney Mansion, which is haunted, by the way, so it's going to be a very interesting evening. We'll be offering hors d'oeuvres for our guests who come in. We're going to do some energetic prep, which we will teach you on how to communicate with spirit, how to protect yourself in that type of situation, what that would look like. We're also having special guests, G.H. Payne, who are quote-unquote ghost hunters. I've had them on the show before. They're a riot and very good at what they do. They'll be helping us lead the tour around the mansion that evening. We'll be doing some energy sessions, channeling, and readings. So it's going to be a very big event. Tickets are on sale now. You can get them by calling 413-397-3099. It's $65 per person. We may have one or two sales before the event, but we're getting closer and closer, guys, so you want to get your seat. There's only 20 seats available. Again, it's at the Murdoch Whitney Mansion in Winterton on June 27th, which is a Saturday. There are two seatings, 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Anything you want to add to that, April?
I don't think so. It's just going to be so much fun. You know, that's really what I'm feeling about it, is that
I'm
it's
really
just going to be like a fun adventure night. Yeah.
It is. It is going to be a good time. And seriously, I mean, it's like 3 hours of packed with energetic work and metaphysical experience. It's going to be something to talk about into the future, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and take our caller and see what our caller needs to ask April. Hello, this is Laura. How can I help you?
Hi, no, I just want to listen to this. I'm all good.
Oh, you're just listening? Okay. All right, well, then I will put you back on mute. Okay, so our caller doesn't have any questions. But if you do want to call in, the number to call in is 917-889-2854. Again, that's 917-889-2854. We will announce, again, the number for getting tickets for the Murdoch Whitney event later this month. We'll do that again at the end of the show. But if you want to call in and talk to April or myself, ask any questions, again, that number is 917-889-2854. So we have about 25 minutes left to the show, April. And one of the things that we were talking about earlier, before the show went on the air, we were talking about, you know, how we kind of just have a conversation and things kind of come up. One of the things I wanted to ask you was to talk a little bit about your experience with channeling. That keeps popping into my head about your channeling and the messages that you're bringing for the public. Do you have any feeling as to, would you like to do a channel? I should have warned you on this, but I didn't. And I don't know why, but I meant to say, would you like to do that on the show? And I'm just feeling like you have a message.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's always something that they have to say. So I
Absolutely.
Can imagine that that would be the case. There must be something that people need to hear at this time.
Mm.
So let me just kind of get into Theta a little bit, and I will bring through the message in a second.
Cool. And you're going to feel me because I'm going to connect with you if you don't mind. Is that okay?
Sure. Yep.
Divine love is present.
We see that there is a place within you that is seeking, that is reaching, that is ready to grow and finally to thrive. And that in this moment, you wish to be in that space of thriving now. And yet there is no magic pill. There is no instantaneous fix for years and years and years of programming and old behavior. And so all healing is a journey. There has never been a person who just decided they were going to believe certain things and live a certain way and feel a certain way and consistently upheld that focus, that ability, that place within themselves. It is always, always, always a journey and a path and a process. And that journey and process can be beautiful and weird and frustrating and joyous. It's much like a roller coaster where you can be riding high one moment and then fall off the track another. But you have to recognize that when you slide off the track, that it's okay, that it's expected, that it's part of your human journey, and that that is a time for you to look back at the path behind you and recognize that there was a time of peace right before you had fallen off and that you had done something to create that peace. And then you dust yourself off and you get back on the ride and you do whatever it was that you were doing that created that peace and positivity for you. And then you look for more tools to continue it. And you look for people to help foster that. So this cannot be done alone. It cannot be done in a vacuum. You must learn from others, other ways to see and feel and believe. Some of it may be reading a book, watching a movie, receiving a healing, going for coaching, even so much as watching Oprah or going on YouTube and downloading a meditation. It's just constantly reaching out for more tools and more tricks and more help. And then also reaching out your hand to people behind you, people who are just a little lower than you are in your healing, and offering them, only when they ask, the help that you have received yourself. And this leads into another concept of never, ever, ever trying to convince somebody else of your beliefs unless they have asked for your help.
Mm-hmm.
There is a tendency to want to help people who are suffering and struggling. But for some, they are choosing to suffer and struggle. And that is okay. That is their journey, and it is none of your business. Your business is to heal yourself and to help those who come forward to you asking and requesting, trying to find out how you got from where you were to where you are. It is a process for everyone, and the more you allow yourself to be helped, the more help you can be to others. And most of all, allow yourself to be uplifted. Allow yourself to be happy and do things that you love and enjoy, because that will raise your vibration, and your high vibration will lift the vibration of the collective. Namaste.
Namaste. That made me smile from ear to ear, really. I love it. You know, when you started, I'm like, oh, they got something for me, and then you kept going, and I'm like, oh, they got something for April, and I'm like, oh, they got something for everybody. And that's the way it works all the time, because it's just the message is for everyone. It applies to everyone in every situation. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
right.
I heard you say, like, you can't do this alone. You can't do it in a vacuum. And I was like, right there was that piece was yours. That was yours. You can't do it alone. You can't.
Yeah.
No matter how powerful you are, no matter how many times you've fallen, you've gotten up, no matter how many times you have experienced, sorry, someone just came in scared me to death. But you've experienced over and over again these challenges and felt successful. In the end, it's about doing it as a collective. You have to do your own work, but if you don't reach out, then nothing really happens.
Right.
Whether
and,
you're
you know,
helping or receiving help.
There's a lot of different ways that can show up, too, you know, because people are thinking maybe that they have to go see a person in order for that to happen. And for me, the first half of my journey, at least, was books. So I was learning from people who had been there who wrote about it. You know, so for me, it was reading Eckhart Tolle's works and Louise Hay's works and John Welch's and Wayne Dyer and all of these people who had kind of figured it out. And I remember going from book to book going, yes, this is what I needed to learn, because I was absolutely living in this awful, horrible way that I had been programmed to live that was creating my misery. And now I'm learning from these other people who've been there to look at things from a different perspective. But it did get to a point where I kind of felt like, okay, I can't find any more books that interest me. It all feels like the same information over and over again now. So it must be time for me to share something, you know? So that's when I wrote my book.
Yeah.
But since then, I really, you know, for a while there, didn't have anything guiding me. I was just kind of going along. And so now it's very interesting to be delving back into this healing work for myself and just seeing that, you know, in the time that I've been doing that, how much it's affected my work with others too, like my healing work on people and what I'm able to offer them.
Right.
So
taking care of the self takes care of others.
Right. And regardless what that looks like, you know, it can take 100 different forms, but it's all about allowing yourself to receive and allowing yourself to learn from others who've been there.
So I have one last question for you, April.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that your journey has truly ended your emptiness and that you have found your fulfillment?
I would say I am 93% there.
93%, I love it. Specifically 93%. That's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome. what most people wouldn't give to be 10% better in their lives, to feel 10% better.
And that's what it takes.
93%.
Is being okay with, okay, I'm 10% better than I was a month ago. Well, that's
right.
That's an improvement, you know.
Right.
And when you really look back at where you started compared to where you are right now, it's usually astounding, the difference.
Right.
But while you're in it, while you're on the journey, it kind of feels like it feels stagnant because it's very slow, gentle progress for most people. For you, it was a little crazy. But for a lot of people, it's this slow, gentle process of, okay, you know, I fixed this little thing and I tweaked this. And so I feel a little better on a regular day-to-day basis. It's not astonishingly awesome, but it's far better than where I was. So I'm just going to keep going in this direction. And that's really what it took for me. It was several years straight of walking that path and dusting myself off every time I fell off track and just recognizing that when I really stuck with the program and worked on changing my energy and the way I was seeing things, the way I was interpreting things, it made such a difference, and it was just piece by piece by piece by piece. It was not all at once. I didn't go from being miserable to being completely joyous all the time. And, you know, I've still got more to go as far as, you know, really living from a place of feeling joyful and abundant all the time. You know, there are certainly times when I'm feeling that. And there are times when I'm just kind of like, okay, whatever, meh. But fortunately, I am no longer ever in that place of absolute suffering, struggling, depression, and total heaviness. So I'm either in a place of peace and surrender and, you know, just kind of there, or I'm feeling good. So, you know, really, who could ask for more at this point, especially considering where I started?
Well, 93% is pretty good. I'd take 93%. I think maybe 86. I'm at 86. I'm going to go 86.
Okay. All right. I like it.
But, you know, what's funny is that, when we were in Florida, you know, I was kind of exhausted. And I had to remind myself that a year ago, even 2 years ago, was I even walking? What were they doing 2 years ago? Like, I had to think about it. Like, I'm like, okay, yeah, well, 2 years ago I was walking. And how long ago was it that I was actually in the wheelchair? 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I can't even remember now.
Yeah.
I can't, like, judge how long it's been. But I have to remind myself when I kind of get to the point where I was saying, this stinks because I'm really, really tired because I was really active the last couple of days or whatever, that I couldn't even do any of those activities a few years ago. I couldn't do that.
You'd have been exhausted before you even got on the plane before.
I remember trying to plan a trip where I was going to have to get on the plane and trying to figure out how I was going to do that and the steps that I would need to take to be a person in a wheelchair on a flight. I needed to know that information. And that wasn't that long ago. And I don't ever see myself going back there again because I can only see forward now.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, you were talking about, I've had plenty of moments where I doubt or I question. And, you know, I've been going through a lot of rapid healing recently. And I have to say that I'm finally beginning to see where it is that I'm going. And it feels good. It really feels good. And that's the place that we we want to offer other people who are seeking whatever we can to help them find that the way to their epiphany as well.
Mm-hmm.
You
Absolutely.
Know, and that's where you come in and you work with people and you, and like you said before, it's not just about the practitioner. It's about what are you going to do and what are your capabilities and what you put into it. And it is a life change. I want to tell people that, I'm sure you've heard this before, and I'll say it again. You changed my life, and I'm grateful for that. And anyone who wants to change their life, needs someone to show them the way, or is willing to start embarking on a journey for themselves to better themselves and better their life and become a happier, more whole person, you need to go see April. You need to go see April because she changes lives. And that is my belief, and I will always say that about you. So
thank you.
Now that we have about 5 minutes left to the show, do you want to give out contact information for yourself on how people can come see you in Manchester, New Hampshire, and I'll reach you on your website? Would you like to put that information out there so people can have that for themselves?
Sure, absolutely. So just so you're aware, my book is called Essence, Ending Emptiness, Finding Fulfillment, and it's on Amazon. And that is a great way to kind of get to know whether you really resonate with me and what I do and what I offer. But I have a new website, thehealerofhealers.com. And if you go on that website, if you sign up, you actually get a free Stepping Into Your Power guided meditation. And also it links you to a page where you can book a free journey session with me. If you've never been to see me before, I do offer first-time clients a complimentary journey session to see whether our energies work well together and whether you feel like I could be of any help to you. But, you know, I don't pressure anybody. If you really don't feel like you resonate with me or you don't feel like the work that I do with you is valuable, I'm not going to pressure you to try to buy sessions from me or anything like that. But if you love what I do and you feel like I can help you, then I like to offer really affordable packages and stuff for people to be able to do a continual work with me to really get themselves to where they need to be. Because I work with a lot of givers, and givers need to receive. So thehealerofhealers.com will give you all of that stuff. And I do offer sessions over phone and Skype if you're not anywhere near New Hampshire. And the energy is just as powerful over the airwaves as it is in person. So I'm good with either way. That's
so
it.
It's healerofhealers.com.
It's thehealerofhealers.com.
Thehealerofhealers.com. Okay.
Correct.
So if you need that repeated, you could just this show will be archived in about 5 minutes right after the show ends. You can go ahead and listen to it. You can anything that April and I have mentioned during the show that is going to be in archive, so the information is there for you. Again, April's book is available on Amazon.com. It's called Essence, Ending Emptiness and Finding Fulfillment. It's a must read for your summer reading program. Anyone who wants to know about finding fulfillment should pick up this book, definitely. Again, you know, April is located in Manchester, New Hampshire, but she does do work over distance. In fact, you're doing international work now, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you've been working with people out of like Canada and England and Ireland, and so
yes.
you're going international. So that's
apparently
awesome.
Apparently, I am.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And the the book itself, I like to tell people it's 1/3 mindset shift, 1/3 energy mm-hmm. healing modality, and 1/3 spiritual awakening and empowerment. So if you're into any of those things, you'll love it.
It's a great book. And this was a great interview. Thank you again for coming on, April.
Yeah.
as always.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I enjoy our conversations. And
me too.
We're going to wrap up now. So thank you, and we'll talk to you again soon, hopefully. Have a great night. So we're just going to wrap up the show now. We're going to exit with a little bit of music. And I want to thank everyone for listening in. Once again, April is really a phenomenal, she's an exceptional presence in our field. And I would not hesitate to work with her in any capacity. So have a great night, everyone. Thank you once again.